Did you know there's an online cannabis company that ships federally legal THC right to your door? And they found a way to combine THC with carefully selected functional ingredients to create gummies, baked goods, and flower for whatever type of buzz you'd want. I'm talking about Mood.com. They have an incredible line of cannabis gummies, and you get 20% off your first order at Mood.com with promo code SPECIALISTS with an S on the end. This isn't some rinky-dink discount of 5 or 10%. This is 20% off your first order. Forget one-size-fits-all supplements that only get you high. Mood's functional gummies are optimized to kick in as little as 15 minutes and take you to the mood you're looking for. My favorite are the Sleepy Time Advanced gummies. That's right, those are for sleepy time. You know when you just can't fall asleep? Take these and they'll put you right in the mood. Beyond gummies, Mood also has a selection of flower, pre-rolls, bakery treats, and beverages. Listen, you can find gummies to just get you high pretty much everywhere these days. But Mood's functional gummies combine premium, federally legal THC with targeted botanicals to help you get into the perfect mood, usually in as little as 15 minutes. And everything ships discreetly right to your door. No dispensary lines, no awkward conversations, just better days and nights delivered to your doorstep. Best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I mentioned, listeners get 20% off their first order with promo code SPECIALISTS with an S on the end. So head to Mood.com, find the functional gummy that matches exactly what you're looking for, and let Mood help you discover your perfect mood. And don't forget to use promo code SPECIALISTS when you check out to save 20% on your first order. Try it today at mood.com.
The Survivor Specialist Phil and McKenna are back, and today we are recapping week number 4 of Australian Survivor Brains versus Braun 2. Episodes 10, 11, and 12, one person gets voted out, one person gets voted to another tribe, and then I am not being joking in this situation. Maybe the biggest twist in Survivor history ever. I have never been more blindsided in my life than what happened at the end of episode number 12. Because what? Where did that come from? What the hell just happened?
I think because Ben leaves, that they didn't give him any screen time and we don't care about Ben or something. Like, I don't know why he didn't get any, like, oh, my calf muscle hurts, or I have some pneumonia, or I don't know, I feel like I have a fever, and he had Ross River fever that he got from a mosquito or something like that. So,
yeah. Okay.
I think it's because he was so invisible, but, like, I think you have other theories.
This is what I'm asking. Lane Abernathy here. Why did we get no explanation for why he left?
Do we save it for the top of the next episode?
I don't know. So here's the thing. So, like, Ben
to get this shock moment and to get this talk.
No, because I think the shock moment would have been there if he quit anyway. I think there's more to this. I think there's more to this story. Now, granted, I don't know how Australian Survivor works from a production standpoint. I don't know what the deal is. I don't know how any of that goes. I do know that the biggest comparison I can make here is to season 39, because season 39, we had an exit from that episode that was not explained to us when it actually took place. We found out in the aftermath, and I'm talking about Dan Spilos, of course. Now, I believe that a lot was left out of Dan's situation because Dan was suing, or Dan was threatening to sue. There was a lot going on there. Mm-hmm. And so I'm wondering if there's more going on behind the scenes. And I'm not saying Ben made a Dan Spilo type moment here. That's not what I'm saying. But I'm wondering if Ben, with the injuries he suffered and with something else, maybe is filing some type of lawsuit. Although in his Instagram post, he's talking about how he wants to play Survivor again.
Yeah.
And how he wishes he could play. So I don't understand why they would leave this out. I feel like every other time we've seen somebody quit or get medevaced, we saw it with Moana during her first season when she ends up getting voted out of the game, but she's talking about how she's just so ill. She comes back and she plays All-Stars and does great. So I am very confused as to why they elected to go this route, because it just feels out of character and out of style for what Survivor tends to do, whether it's US or Australian. I am just so confused why it went down this way, because Ben doesn't seem like he has a bad relationship, but it's going to certainly cause some drama. I mean, go on the Reddit Survivor AU thread. Most people are talking about they think that he broke a rule or committed something bad. And I think that is what is so interesting about this. And that's why my mind went to, there has to be something happening outside of the game of Australian Survivor that has made this take place. That being said, it makes no sense to me. And I feel like as an audience, we do deserve to know more. And I hope that they start episode 13 with explaining from the other tribe. If they go into this next episode and they just merge and we don't hear what happened to Ben on screen, that is a massive, massive issue. And I want that resolved. And I think that's very unfair to the audience. And I think JLP needs to address it big time.
Yeah, if that doesn't happen, it's just this giant plot hole. Like, Ben himself is a plot hole because we haven't heard much from him anyway. But the fact now that, like, he was removed and we didn't even go to the beach after tribal council or anything like that. We went into tribal council, Ben was pulled, and we don't get like any information from the other tribe. It's just so shocking and jarring. And I mean, my jaw was on the floor.
Yeah. I mean, there's no reason. I mean, and something was up, right? Like, you could tell that something was up because when we were watching the episode, what, there were 5 minutes left, 6 minutes left, and they hadn't even gone to tribal. And like, Australian Survivor tribals, they tend to be long, right? Like, they tend to have a commercial break in the middle of them before they get up to vote. They tend to have a lot going on. And so the fact that we were 5 minutes left and we're having all these conversations, granted, this might have saved a more interesting post-merge, because I do feel like what we have left is very good. I'm happy that the Logan, AJ, Kaylin's, Karin, which I'm going to start saying Karin now, and Zara situation and Pauly didn't come to a head, but I just am so confused as to how they handled this and why it was handled in this way, because I was just jaw on the floor when he just says Ben's leaving. I felt the same way Pauly did, where it was, are you serious? Really? Like, we just get to go home now?
Yeah. Like, we don't also have to vote someone out. Like, it was just like, all right, here's tribal council. I figured that, because I wasn't looking at the time, so I didn't realize that the episode was over, but I figured they would at least maybe have some questioning or something. Like, JLP is gonna be like, I'm still gonna interrogate you, but you won't be voting anybody out.
Yeah, it's a big question mark. And here's what Adrian Celeste, there are rumors I'm hearing on what happened, like Ben saying on Insta, he's either suffering pneumonia and saying he had a torn something, and I'm hearing something that's very controversial. So that's the problem, right? When you don't actually give an answer to this, when you don't actually give us closure as an audience, that just stirs up all of the conspiracy theorists in us, and we can't help ourselves but start to wonder. And he said he had a torn calf muscle and he had another issue. But the
controversy, we weren't getting any confessionals from him after the water, being like, ow, my calf.
Yeah, so how many confessionals did Ben end up with? Do we know?
I don't know, but it had to have been like 3.
Yeah, somebody said, is he the most purple player of all time? No, Purple Kelly still takes that. Still, Purple Kelly, I always have to bring this up so people can truly understand. Where is it? So Purple Kelly... they cut it up into 21. Okay, I got to find it. But Purple Kelly's confessional count is so unbelievably low. It's crazy. So yeah, anyway. Okay, let's talk about the way this whole thing shook out, though. So let's go back to the top. So we're in episode number 10. This is where Noonan does get voted out of the game.
So devastating.
So devastating. So she really hurt her ankle. Do you think that the ankle situation impacted why they ultimately elected to vote her out of the game, or do you think she was just drawing dead anyway?
I think Pauly and Kristen thought it was either them or her. Meanwhile, Paulie had an idol and could control the vote. And they could have wrote AJ down, all three of them, and been fine.
Yeah, we see AJ actually play his idol incorrectly here. And so this idol play, so it's funny, like, you know, these episodes, we watch 3 hours plus of Australian Survivor every week, and then we sit down to talk about it. And it's hard to do a full beat by beat breakdown like we do with US. So I try to just hit the highlight moments. The end of this episode is the highlight moment, because we have, first of all, we have a challenge throw where Ben and AJ are both attempting to throw the challenge. They are both trying to lose at the challenge while shooting the buckets. And they're having a full blown conversation to the point where JLP says, I might just send you both to tribal council. If you
guys, and I was like, yes, thank you for their shenanigans, like consequences.
Exactly. But the hostage situation is actually kind of working, right? Like what AJ said is kind of working, but the end of this episode, we see an idol play by Paulie, who gets the most votes, and we see AJ respond with an idol play. And I agree with the idol play by AJ, because you don't want to take that chance when there's so few votes remaining and you didn't have a proper split going on, but he ends up wasting the idol and pisses off Karin. So there is so much to go through here. So much to go through in this episode. And a lot of it comes down to what happened at the end, because then they're saying, wouldn't it be funny if AJ goes home after he's the one who tried to throw the challenge? So what was your take from this, like literally this whole episode, and how it all revolved around throwing challenges and idol plays, and ultimately resulted in Noonan going home with just two votes?
So I thought it was dumb by both boys, like just play the game. Mm-hmm. You're gonna have to navigate numbers anyway, so just try and play the game and win. The best place that to go forward in the game is by winning a challenge, because you escape the vote. So I feel like if you can win it, just win it. And then I feel like JLP has had enough of this like throwing challenges situation. Like, do we want to just have a talk at the beginning of this? Like, why are we wasting our time setting up this challenge? Do we want to just talk and see who wants to go to tribal council tonight? Like, I get his frustration, because like, it's so stupid. And then of course, Noonan busting her ankle is like, oh, if I had known, maybe I'd save myself some medical issues.
Yeah. Yeah. And Noonan, we do see limping around, and she's not looking for idols after this. And they're talking about, you know, why aren't you looking? She says, because I have one leg. I think that really did hurt her. I mean, who knows what it was that ended up getting injured. Noonan certainly being set up as somebody who would play again in the future, I think, as one of those like pre-merge people who would come back. I mean, she dominated from a confessional standpoint. Squilliam over here put PD shockingly still has the least at four. I mean, it's not that shocking. I don't feel like I've heard from PD at all.
Ben only had five. So. Yeah,
exactly. And Noonan probably had like in the 20s or 30s or something. Mm-hmm. I mean, if anybody has that, like a link to that or an image, please share it in the chat, because I'd love to know. Or at me over on X, because I have X up in the corner here. But okay, let's talk. So they're trying to throw the challenge. They're both trying to throw it. AJ comes back and they say to him, you know, they Noonan gets rightfully mad at him, but he says it was time to do this. And I know that it's frustrating to watch a challenge throw, but I don't disagree with AJ that it was time to do this, that he wanted to have control. And by doing the hostage situation, it did result in people that potentially could work with him going home, right? So he has to sit there and say, okay, Max is out of the game. Max is somebody that AJ would have played with. So now he has to say, well, let me change up my strategy a little bit and just try to take out, you know, Paulie and Noonan, who are going to have good relationships on the other side. I don't disagree with why they wanted, like, with the throwing of the challenge. It's just crazy. I don't think we've ever seen a challenge before where both teams so badly want to lose.
And AJ isn't telling anybody. His big thing that people got mad about at him with is, okay, you didn't tell us about the challenge throw. Nobody knew about this. Mm-hmm. You put yourself in basketball and didn't tell anybody anything. Yeah. And then I think it's a little BS for Karin to be upset about the idol, because I do think it's fine if, you know, someone hides an idol. But at the same time, you didn't tell anybody about the idol. So this is a second thing that people are like, you're not telling us about this, all you do is come up with secret plans and execute them.
Well, and I can't get mad at Karin for this, because I do feel that if you're in this situation and AJ's already been sketchy and you already don't feel great with AJ, but you feel like I just have to work with him, I don't blame Karin for saying, you're a weirdo. Get away from me. Like, why would I trust you? And you know what? Also, it kind of reminded me of when Russell says to Parvati at Heroes versus Villains, you have some explaining to do.
Yeah.
And then he goes at part. There's nothing that can be done. Karin just has to play this game now and figure it out. And AJ's response is fair of, you really want me to tell you, it's called a hidden immunity idol. But if you're trying to act like, I am so straight up with you, I'm so honest with you, blah, 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 now you're throwing a challenge without telling anybody. Then you're playing an idol that nobody knew you had. You're not a trustworthy guy. You're playing too aggressively. I think AJ is playing a great game. I said this last week. I think he could be playing a Tony level game where he's so aggressive. If he wins it, we're going to sit there and go, how the hell did he play that aggressive the entire time and still win? Ultimately, I think he's going to fall short because I think too many people have his name in their mouth, which is not going to be good. But I'm okay with Karin's response, because I think having sour grapes over this moment is totally fair, because AJ should have been a little bit more sincere and a little bit more honest with you, because he's been lying to you so much. He needs to tell you some truth at some point.
Yeah, true. It seemed as if in episode 10 that the brains were hitting a brick wall in strategy talk. Like, Zara was saying she was trying to talk to people and they were shutting her out. But yet later in these few episodes, we have the girls wanting to flip and vote with Zara and Laura. For a vote. So I guess it was just all about timing and rather get Max out before doing anything.
Yeah, because then let's talk about in episode 11, all of a sudden it's like strategy. So like, I agree with you. In episode 10, it seemed like everybody was kind of just hovering. And maybe that's because they don't go to tribal council, so we don't see it. But in episode number 11, all of a sudden Jesse's the name that's coming up. And then we have it confirmed in episode 12 by Kate that they were going to vote Jesse out of the game, that he would have gone home had Laura not found this advantage. So what's up with the Max vote and what is actually going on over here?
Yeah, it seems as if the boys have gotten too big for their britches and they didn't double check with the girls. Or mainly, I think Jesse is getting too big for his britches. And the girls are like, this is too much. We feel like we don't have a say. And we are going to tell you we have a say in this. But Jesse is also getting red alert. The girls are coming together. So we need to pull in Miles. But Miles is not with the guys, really. But is he with the brains? I don't, is he with the girls? I don't know either. Like, is his vote just going to go off into no man's land? Like, we didn't get to see that.
Yeah, we didn't get to see that. And it seems like Morgan and Kate are just unhappy. I have to keep remembering the tribe, because really Jesse didn't talk much. Morgan hasn't talked much. Kate hasn't talked much. Now all of a sudden they're starting to take over. And PD, as we said, has four confessionals. So all of a sudden, out of nowhere, we have girls gone wild, and yeah, it's Morgan and Kate who are pushing. Story.
We got,
oh Kate's, yeah. What is that in episode 11?
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy.
We got her DJing it up.
Cause if you think about it from a US perspective, that would mean, imagine getting somebody's backstory with two episodes remaining.
It's crazy. But now at episode 11 or 12, we've just hit merge.
We've just hit the halfway point. Yeah, we've hit officially the halfway, because there's 8 weeks, I think, of Australian Survivor. So we are halfway through this after this episode, which is crazy because I feel like I've watched so much Australian Survivor.
I know. It's because we have watched a full season, but with two separate seasons.
I know. That is true. We have watched 24 episodes in this amount of time. Why? Okay. So it's Zara, Morgan, Laura, and Kate. That's going to be the group of four. Mm-hmm. And then Miles is kind of in the middle here. And then they create the Hunks, which is another alliance
with a Z.
With a Z, yes, with a Z, as they say in Australia and Canada, as I have found out. So they create the Hunks. Now, for me, it never felt like Miles was actually going to be a part of the Hunks. So it wasn't surprising when he does admit in the next episode that he wasn't going to be in part of the Hunks. So let's talk through what happened after this advantage gets found, because we have the Girls Gone Wild taking on the Hunks. It's very obvious to me that Miles is going to survive, or Miles is going to side with the women, although they are playing up that Laura could be in danger. And Laura goes over and finds an advantage. And they don't tell us what the advantage is. They purposefully leave us in the dark up until we get the tribal council, which is also something I hadn't seen. And she hands it over to Zara, and Zara looks at it and says, oh, shit, and is not happy with the fact and says, I can't catch a break in this game.
I thought it was a safety without power or something where Laura's just like, I have to save myself. Goodbye.
And but then they don't tell us that until tribal.
Right. That's just what I was assuming because of reactions. And Laura was like, I have to save myself, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, I get what you're saying, because it wasn't actually a safety without power. It was just a note that said, hey, by the way, tonight, here's a clue. You're voting somebody to the other tribe. And I agree. It seemed like it was going to be a safety without power, because then Zara even says, if you leave, I'm screwed. Yep. I'm totally done. And that I agree with you. But it was weird that they left us in the dark, because then what I thought was going to happen at Tribal Council is I thought that Laura was going to lie and put this lie out there and say, whoever gets voted out tonight is going over to the Brains tribe or the Brawn tribe, whichever one it is. They're going to the other tribe because they're not Brain and Brawn anymore. So I thought it was going to be Laura saying, whoever gets voted out tonight goes to the other tribe. So you really have to consider how you want to do this. I thought that was going to be potentially a lie to try to get somebody from the Majority Alliance, one of the men, to choose to go to the other side and keep the numbers over there and kind of throw off AJ's BS. But then immediately it's, no, we'll vote for either me or Zara. And I was like, wait, so why didn't they just tell us what it was beforehand? Why did they wait until Tribal Council?
And because even
the JLP,
two episodes in a row, we have gotten twists revealed right at Tribal Council, with this one like starting it off and then Ben leaving with the next one, where we're just like, maybe they were just trying to prep us for that Ben bomb, if you will.
So do you, don't say Ben bombs. Okay. We got to, you know, I like Ben.
Just the hostage reward challenge. How can we not mention HHH?
That's true. That's true. That is true. We'll get there. We'll get there. That's true. You're going to piss off like everybody who's listening though, who has to hate Ben just because I love Ben. So I don't care. But, were you okay with the fact that they didn't tell us? Did you think that there were going to be any shenanigans? Did you think that Laura and Zara were going to try to spin something? Like, what was going through your head when they weren't telling us what the advantage was?
The way it planned out, I think they should have just told us in the editing, because I thought it would have been really interesting if Laura like decided not to say anything and Zara was like, hey guys, just so you know, this thing is, because she said, I might have to blow it up if she doesn't. So let's see what's up. But she didn't blow it up because Laura was just like, I'm going to say it. So I think they should have just said it in the confessional.
Yeah, that's how I felt too. I felt like it was like, if you're just going to tell us anyway, like then just tell us. I mean, whatever. Mm-hmm. It doesn't really matter to me. But so we get the tribal, and now Zara and Laura are going at each other because they each want to get sent to the other side.
Yeah.
So how do you feel? I mean, Laura was really pissed at Zara for this. How do you feel about this?
I mean, I would have rather Zara go over because I think she's safer over there. And I feel like I like her a little bit more than Laura. Because I like Karen. So thus I like Zara and want Zara to stay in the game a little bit more for Karin's game. So I don't know. But I get why Laura is like pissed, because this was her information and she showed it to Zara.
I feel like you might be one of the only people rooting for Zara over Laura. Truly.
It's not necessarily over Laura. Because
you might be one of the few people who likes her more. I'm just being honest.
I mean, probably. But I do, like, I have been interested in Laura's game at this swap tribe, and it is going to be really interesting. But I feel like I need Logan gone for me to like Laura a bit more.
Why are you killing off Why are you killing off my winner pick and the clear?
Because I'm only down to Karin. I lost Ben.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, that was a great winner pick. Man, that's just as bad. So you're Candy and Ben as your bronze.
Yeah, Ben, Candy, Karin, and Max.
Max. And what was I again? I was Jesse, who's Toast. I was...
Morgan,
Logan.
And...
Rich. Rich is gone. Yeah, but at least Rich was entertaining. Ben just was there. Anyway,
that's why I thought he would go far, because I felt like he would just be there.
He was going to be like Steve Wright or Steve Wright, not Steve Wright. What was his name? Steve Wright was the one from Redemption On. The Steve. Oh, you didn't watch the earlier seasons. We're this is where we mesh. Anyway, there's one guy, Steve, who literally I think on
with the glasses.
No, not that Steve. Different Steve. Oh. Different Steve. Steve who doesn't talk. But anyway, no, that Steve is the nerdy Steve. The other one was like, I'm big and muscular and I'm going to go beat people up. And he has like 12 confessionals the whole season and he's in it for so long. Anyway. So yeah, you're down to just Karin. I mean, here's how I go. And we're going to go into episode 12 in a second here, but obviously we've talked about Ben leaving and we'll talk about the PD injury and all that. And it's a lot of dialogue back and forth. The storyline for this season is revolving 100% around the brains. And I felt that, and I was going to tweet this out, and then Twitter was down like all day yesterday. I mean, how does X go down on free agency starting for the NFL? Like, what is happening? Bad day for that to collapse. But I was going to tweet this out. I stopped, and then by the time it came back up, I forgot. But the story of this season to me, at least for the first half, felt like Logan and Laura getting back together. That felt like what the story was. It was, how are these two going to navigate this portion of the game and eventually get back together? And so for me, I feel like the story of this season has revolved around Miles. It has revolved around Logan. It has revolved around Laura. And it has revolved around AJ. And I feel like you could probably a little bit now, and you can make the argument of Pauly as the other one. He's really the only brain that it revolves around. But when I look at who's left in the game, Jesse just started talking again. PD hasn't had much. Kate and Morgan are just starting to wake up, and it feels like they're supplementary to the other people that I just mentioned. Kristen is supplementing in other people here. Kaylin is starting to wake up a little, but not a lot. Karin is having a good season, so you could put Karin in there too. But it feels like brains, and it's all about how are these people who started off with their alliance and maybe some of them against each other, and even Zara in there. How are they going to react to each other? Whereas Braun, I know zilch, nothing, nada. Yeah. It's weird.
Quick thing about Kaylin. He's so cute because he was like, time to put away the golden retriever and now I need to be a sheepdog. And he was like, I need to herd everyone. I thought that was the cutest thing. He is so, I feel like people are clocking him a little bit where he's like, he's not this dumb guy, but also, you know, I think he still is a bit under the radar and people still really do want to work with him. Do I think he's winning it? No, but like, I think he is playing a decent, like, under the radar game for as big and brawny as he is. I know he's on the brains, but.
It's very fascinating with Kaylin because I still haven't gotten, I saw Squilliam followed us on X, but I haven't gotten the message yet. So Squilliam, I'm waiting here. But I think it's very interesting with Kaylin because Kaylin has barely gotten any confessional time. And I would bet that he's probably one of the two or three lowest people on the season right now. But when he does talk, we are very clearly seeing what his game is. Let me see. Can you DM? So I think with Kaylin, we saw starting off, I'm going to play dumb. I'm going to be the golden retriever. Now we're seeing, I'm going to become the sheepdog. We're not seeing much else from him, but you clearly know what his strategy is. Like, compare that to Jesse, who wants to create the mega alliance, compare that to PD, who now has a torn bicep, but that's it. Do you agree with that, Kaylin? Even though you don't feel like he can win, we are getting the story to enough of a point, I guess.
Yeah, I feel like we're getting it through other people and through camp life. I did Google it and I found confessional account.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Is that easy, huh?
Yep. It's Kyle's account on Reddit. So AJ's at the max with
send it 30- to me. Send it in the private chat. I want to see.
All right.
But you can keep going. I just want to see.
Private while chat. You talk along, you know? All right. So we have AJ the most with 31 here. And then we have Kate with 2. PD actually has 3. Morgan.
Oh, this is after episode 10 now.
Oh, yeah, yeah, okay.
Because I was going to say Kate had 2 in episode 12 at least. So what's Kyle doing? He only updates it every now and then. He doesn't like to update more.
He hasn't probably watched this last episode.
Unbelievable. What's he doing? I don't get it.
He has to wait for his girlfriend.
Unbelievable. It sounds like his girlfriend needs to get her priorities straight. That's what sounds like.
She goes to work.
So we will have to see. I mean, because what's funny is, so AJ has the most, but this is where Australian Survivor is just so funny. 4 episodes without a confessional through the first 10 episodes. So you can't look at this from the edit perspective that you can with US Survivor. Even somebody like Miles here has 2 episodes without confessionals. And I feel like he's been eating up so much screen time. So let me see. So, yeah, I mean, I'm enjoying, I forget where we were going with this, but I'm enjoying what I'm seeing. I just feel like the Braun tribe, I don't know what their strategy is. I know Kaylin's strategy more, even if Kaylin's sitting there with 6 confessionals or something.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Like, I don't know what Morgan's trying to do. I don't know what Kate's trying to do. Like, now we know a little bit more because they're like, you have to save us because we're going to save you. But other than that, I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. So let's talk about episode 12 here. So Zara gets sent to the other tribe. She comes out and says that her and Laura both found this advantage. That's lie number one. Right. So she says, her and Laura both found this advantage. And then they get to this challenge and they start talking about everything. And Laura is so pissed at how happy Zara is. So angry that this did not work out for her and that it worked out for Zara instead.
Yeah.
She ends up telling Logan at the mat when PD is dealing with his, by the way, very loud pop that we heard.
Yeah. I heard that. I was like,
yeah, that was so loud.
I was like, was it the shoulder? Was it a muscle? Like, I didn't know what exactly had popped, but that felt like definitely a shoulder just going.
Yep. Yep. Nope. It was brutal. It was really, really brutal. So I heard that and I thought it was his shoulder too, because his arm wasn't hanging. And so that was good that it wasn't broken in half. And so he partially tore his bicep. He's now unlimited. He ends up coming back into the game. He gets to play, but he's unlimited what he can do in challenges. So there's going to be some challenges he has to sit out, but he gets to continue playing in the game and he's all about it. He wants to continue playing.
I'm just glad that they're merging after this, because I would have been kind of pissed that you're choosing to stay in the game. So why should the other tribe have to sit someone out because you have someone who can't fully participate?
Yeah.
But they're merged, so it's okay. Yeah. And he's just giving up immunity, but
nobody's trying to win anyway. So what does it matter?
Like, I mean,
hey, Kaylin, we're going to sit you out this time because you're too strong. We want to lose. Thank you.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, I've never seen like such an ass backwards portion here. But so we have Laura going at it here and being mad. And then Laura versus Zara is for the win in the reward challenge. Mm-hmm. Laura beats her. But as they're walking up, Zara says, I know you're mad at me, but I don't want you to be this mad. Like, I don't want this to ruin our relationship. It's over, right? Like, it's over. Zara's toast once they hit the merge, no?
Well, I think that's what the other Bronze on Brain were saying. Like, why don't we all just go Zara, because we all don't want her moving forward because we feel burned or whatever. I don't know. I think they were saying, like, a lot of people have Zara's name in her mouth. It'd be an easy merge vote here.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's what it seems like is going to happen. Because what are the... Here, let me pull up. What are the original numbers right now from like the original tribes?
And again, it's brain heavy.
It is brain heavy, right? Dude, I cannot spell Australian when my microphone is in the way. Oh my goodness gracious me. This is brutal. This is driving me crazy. Okay, I got it. Finally. Okay. Whew. So yes, we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. We have 7. So it's 7-6. It's actually not that bad.
Oh, shoot.
That's just how much more we're hearing from the brains than the Brawns. Like, cause here's the Brawn, right? Jesse, Kate, Kristen, Morgan, Paulie, and PD. Other than Paulie, that makes up the bottom portion of the confessional count and stuff. And I do appreciate that in this last stretch of episodes, we had Kristen in episode 12 saying, Paulie thinks I'm working with him. I'm not going to work with him. Forget that. I'm not playing my idol for Paulie to keep him in the game. I want to go further. So we actually did start to hear a little bit more from her as well there. But yeah, there's a lot. I mean, there's still a lot to talk about in this episode. I forgot about something in episode 11 though. So I want to bring this up. Did they purposely push their thing over in episode 11 in the immunity challenge?
Was that the disc?
No, where they were holding the sticks up. And all of a sudden they were like, oh, and it lasted like 3 minutes. And JLP said, I've never seen it go that fast. Did they purposely do that?
I guess they would have had to.
Or is that just like the worst challenge performance in Australian Survivor history?
I don't know, because everyone was like, I don't understand why this is falling. I'm pushing up on this trough. So it had to have been like Ben and PD like, oops.
I almost feel like they pushed from the other side purposefully. Like they almost like, so you're pushing it up from the front. And I almost feel like part of them was like, oh, let's move this. Because then I think it was Jesse who says something like, oh, I can move it over here. And he pushes it to like the middle, and it's almost like he slipped it to the back end. So he was actually pushing up instead of up on the front. You know what I mean? He's pushing up on the back to tilt it rather than pushing it the other way. Very fascinating that has, like, we've literally been wondering, are they throwing this challenge for 6 episodes now? It's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. I had no, again, these stretch of 3 episodes were just a bunch of like shock and confusion. Mm-hmm. And this was another, like, how this tribe was supposed to win it.
Yeah.
Also, I felt it was weird for some of the people to be like placed where they are, because I feel if you have people drop, you want them to drop from the ends. So like your middle is strongest. And I feel like Kaylin should have been in the middle, and it was AJ, and I don't know. I think they also didn't strategically place people where it's like, if Jesse and PD are pushing hard, and then on the other side, it's like, I don't know, Kate or was Zara still there? Then it could have just felt, I don't know.
Yeah, it was weird.
Challenges was very confusing, and I don't think we'll ever have the answer.
No. I mean, I'm sure in the post game press, some people will talk about it. I don't know. Does Australian Survivor do like post game press the way US does? I haven't followed it much because we do this podcast and then I start thinking about BVB1, so we can do it.
Yeah.
I go, you know, so I haven't really followed, but
I'm not sure if like there's official like Australian Survivor interviews, but I'm pretty sure they go out for like, I think RHAP is done probably.
Is there like a parade or no? Like, is there a parade of Australia?
I don't know.
Cause Shannon used to do the stuff, right? She used to do like post game interviews, and now she doesn't anymore. Correct. I think that's correct.
I don't know. The 10 play might put out articles or something.
Yeah. Well, all right, let's talk about, so we get the HHH reward
spaghetti here. Dinner. And it was the spaghetti dinner again. I was shocked that it was still the same thing.
Why did they not open? Why did nobody else dig to the bottom except for Miles?
I don't know.
The first thing you do when you walk in there as the first person is you flip it over, and then you literally just pick up with your hands all of the pasta and put it back in. Yep. Or you dump the bowl like what Chrissy did.
Yep. Yeah. I think there's a clear, like, the giant mound of pasta is where the clue is. Because I think it was one that we were watching where it was in the popcorn.
That was, wasn't that David's season?
Oh, it was because I was watching
All Stars.
Yeah, clip or whatever. And it was like in this giant thing of popcorn. It's like, of course, it's going to be in like whatever this massive food item is.
Yeah. And here's Zach B said on 10 play, there was an unseen on TV scene with the players discussing if it was a throw.
So, what's the answer?
No, what was the conclusion? Wait, I thought I was getting the answer to that question there. That's why I put that up. What the heck? Also, I followed you, Squilliam. Where is my message? I'm waiting, Squilliam. I'm waiting. I followed you on X. Okay. So we get this. Miles thinks it says shelf. He's looking around shelves. It actually said shelter.
Yep.
He gets back to camp and then he realizes it clicks in his head. It said shelter. He ends up finding the idol. No, mm-hmm. This isn't the idol. Or is this the idol? No, this one's not the idol. He found the idol already. This is the little scroll. This is the scroll. Well, Squilliam, do you have through episode 12 or do you only have through episode 10? That's why I want it. We only had through episode 10. So when I look at this, so he had already found an idol. The jungle rat finds another idol. And then he goes back in and he finds the scroll. And the scroll is now a knowledge is power. Except it can only be to take an idol. And it has to be at tribal council.
Because there are no advantages in the game.
They're not doing any other advantages, are they?
That aren't like one use.
Yeah. Do you like this twist or no?
Knowledge is power is always tricky. I don't know if I ever like knowledge is power, but I don't dislike knowledge is power.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I feel like knowledge is power is better when everybody knows that somebody has it. I don't know if he's actually going to tell anybody that he has it. And people have been pretty open with him about idols, and he's got enough relationships that he knows where idols are. Right now, everybody knows Kristen has an idol. So if Kristen mm-hmm. doesn't know knowledge is power is in the game, which she doesn't, Miles yeah. can just walk in at tribal council and say, Kristen, I want your idol. And there's nothing Kristen can do about it. So I think it works better when it's found as a group or something. And that's not the case here.
Yeah. And Kristen keeps saying, like, I want to save my idol, save my idol, save my idol. So maybe we're getting set up for Miles.
Mm-hmm.
To take the idol from her.
And it would make sense. And then that would make sense why the Brawn have no shot after that. Because once that's taken, if he takes the idol, I mean, Miles is overly powerful right now. He has an idol and he's moving through. We also got Logan getting an idol too, though.
Mm-hmm.
So there's three idols in the game right now, right? Miles, Logan, and Kristen. Everybody else's idols have been played. That's it.
Correct.
Karin and Kaylin both know about Logan's idols as well.
Yeah, they were around when she saw it. Mm-hmm.
And well, I think Karin's going to be happy with that. And I think Karin's going to tell Zara. So, you know.
But I think it's good that Karin was around for it because you kind of have Logan who is on one side, Karin who is on the other. And yes, they're both on brains and are being forced to work together right now, but originally they were on opposite sides.
Mm-hmm.
So it's good knowing where this information is.
Yeah. Because Karin comes in and says, Zara's my number one. She's always been my number one. I'm so happy she's back. And then we have Logan and Laura saying their thing, and everybody's saying we don't want to let Laura get to merge with Logan. And now they're at merge together.
With this, Kaylin can now tell Miles that Logan has an idol too.
Yeah. Yep.
Because Kaylin and Miles were closer than AJ and Kaylin were.
Yeah. And I'm sure that's going to come up. Man, there's a lot. It's a lot to dissect and think about when you have to do three episodes at a time. Really? Yeah. It's a lot of info, a lot going in my brain and out the other side here. And then we get to the super, super disappointing. Ben just leaves. I don't understand. I wish I just understood more. I just mm-hmm. wish I understood more. That's really
and funny. All right. So what are your thoughts on scaring AJ, but the plan can go wrong and AJ could actually go home instead of Polly, but Karin wants to scare him and be like, okay, you know, here's
I like it. And then they were saying, oh, well, what if we have an accidental? Oh, no. Why did you vote for AJ? You did it wrong. Like, they almost wanted to seem like an accident, like what happened in the first Brains versus Brawn. I'm okay with it. I'm okay with if AJ's not going to be your number one late in the game, if you're, you know, if you're trying, like, put some pressure on him. I don't know why that just started playing. No idea what that was. I got the thing through episode 11 though, but I think it's fine. I think it works. You don't like it or you do?
No, I thought it was fine. I was just wondering what you thought about it. It is risky, but if you're fine with either going home, then it's fine.
Yeah, that's how I feel. If you don't want him to go, then don't do it. And AJ, you're in a weird situation where AJ is willing to be the split vote. Anytime you can get somebody you actually want out to be willing to be the split vote, maybe take advantage of that.
Yeah. And AJ at the end was like, all right, Kristen might play the idol for Pauly, or Pauly might have another idol. What if we just vote Logan here? This is the smart play to go Logan. And Kaylin's like, no. Mm-hmm. And so AJ really has to trust these other people and not push, because in his confessional, he was like, I controlled the last four votes.
Yeah. Yeah. And he says, it's okay, I can take a back seat on this one. And I think that's good awareness from AJ. I don't think he has as much awareness as he needs to win the game, but I do think that is good awareness of like understanding you can't have the control in every vote, because that is something people will argue with.
Mm-hmm.
I think the confessionals here. So only through episode 11, although it's funny because this person has been in 14th place, but only through episode 11, AJ with 38, Karen 29, Laura 29, Logan 24, Pauly with 21, Miles with 21, Zara with 17. And then Jesse is the next highest, Braun with 11. And then it's Kaylin with 7, Kate with 7, Kristen Morgan both with 6, PD with 4. So we'll see what ends up happening next time. But like, there's only two Brauns who have more confessionals than a brain. And that brain is Kaylin. So that's what I'm saying. This feels like it's being dominated by the brains right now.
Crazy. Yeah. Well, we'll see in this next batch of episodes, because now we have the merge of how this shakes out. If the brains split and use the brawns as numbers, or do brawns stick together and try and pull brains over, or what? I don't know.
So if we were going to do a quick power ranking, and I'm going to literally make you do it in like a minute, but there's 13 people left. We're coming into a merge. We have idols all over the place. We have a bunch of stuff up in the air. You don't have to do it necessarily as a power ranking, but give me like your four that you feel best about, your four that you feel indifferent about, and then the five that you feel like are in trouble coming into this merge.
Okay. In trouble, Zara, AJ, Jesse, Kristen, because of Jesse's like sniffing her out. And Logan.
Okay.
Either Logan or Pauly. I don't know. Then in that next tier, I'd probably go Pauly. He's probably okay. Kaylin is probably okay. Kristen's probably okay. And then the top would be Karen. Who else is here? Morgan, PD, like those people I cannot see going home. Whoever else is left, I don't know who I missed. But
okay, well, I'm going to do like a full 1 to 13 ranking very quickly, because I feel like this is fun, and I feel like
I'm terrible at power rankings.
I mean, I don't know how this stuff really works, right? So I'm going to stick with that. I'm going to go here. And then, so for me, at number one, I have Logan. She has the idol. I think she's the safest. I know there's people who know about it, but I truly do think that she is the safest. At two, I have Miles, because I think he's also in a very good spot here. At three, I have Laura. The difference between those three, though, is I think Logan and Laura can win. I don't necessarily see Miles winning. He's already had 16 votes against him, as he said at the beginning of one of these episodes.
The two were to leave and be safe.
That is true. I think he's in a lot of trouble. I think he is in a lot of trouble. So I'll put Laura there at three. I'm going to put Karen at four. I think she's protected in enough areas, so I think that'll ultimately end up working out for her. I am going to put, just because I don't see any reason that they would get rid of him now, I'm going to put PD at five. I think that PD is officially the safest Braun. Why boot him? He can't do anything.
Mm-hmm.
And he's not a strategic player.
I was just going to say, Andy's not doing anything for strategy.
Like, he is out there for his physical more than anything. So why would you not want to keep him around? At number six, this is where it gets a little bit trickier, but I'll put Kalen. I think he's long for the game, even if he's not going to win, in my opinion. At number seven, I think that I'm going to go with Kate. And then at eight, I'm going to go Morgan, just because the two of them were willing to go and do the Girls Gone Wild situation. And if I think that the rest of that alliance is deep for the game, even if Zara, I'm a little sketched out on right now, but what was Girls Gone Wild again? I wrote it down. Zara, Morgan, Laura, and Kate. Yeah. I do feel like that builds up some sort of relationship with Laura that could help Kate and Morgan moving forward into the next portion of the game. I'll put AJ at nine. I think AJ could absolutely win the game. I just think he's in a significant amount of danger coming at, into the merge. At number 10, I'm going to go with Jesse. Everybody wants Jesse out, so I keep him. 11, Kristen, because of Miles stealing the idol. 12, Pauly. And then 13, I'm putting Zara. I think Zara's doomed. So there you go. That's how fast I can do my power rankings, but I somehow make it an hour and 15 minute episode every time I have a guest on for US Survivor. So that was fun. Well,
just don't have me on as a guest and then we'll be good, because then it'll be 10 minutes.
Wasn't that good? That was so quick. Look at us go. But yeah, that's just how I feel this is going to go. I think Zara and Pauly are in a lot of trouble, and we've seen a lot of both of them. So they're, you know, you always want to say, well, could they go deep? It's just going to, they're going to be easy targets.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. Who you think's going to win? We're 4 weeks in. Who's going to win?
Still going with Karn.
You're still going with Karn. Okay.
Yep.
How does Karn win?
Don't know, but she does.
Okay. I'm serious though, because like, who does she have to work with to be able to win this game?
I think if she can maybe attach herself to Girls Gone Wild, or just ride AJ all the way to the end and cut him.
Yeah.
Logan and her buddied too somehow while they were on this new Brawn tribe. So I feel like she has a way to like make inroads with people that people, maybe Logan or Laura, might not get, because they are looked at as much more of a pair than Zara and Karin are. And especially if Zara gets cut right here, I think Karin has a lot more maneuverability.
It's actually better for her to lose her closest ally, right? It's kind of like what happened with Rachel in US 47, where it's like, okay, I lost Annika.
Yeah.
Now I'm not being viewed as the biggest threat here. Yeah, I could definitely see Karn winning. I was just wondering like what you see as being her reason.
There is some logic. There's bias, but there's also some logic.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's why I put Logan at one. Really, Laura should be my one, but I picked Logan to win, so I'm going to put Logan at one.
Yeah.
All right. Well, if you made it this far, please like this video and subscribe to the channel and share that we're covering Survivor AU. I don't know where you can share it. If you want to share, do people still share things on Reddit? If you want to do that, I don't want to be the one who does it, but somebody else go promote us over there. But let people know that we're doing this, because I know that a lot of people, I mean, we're getting pretty solid numbers considering it's the first time we've ever covered it. We're not promoting it nearly as much as US. So, you know, if you're enjoying the coverage, let other people know that we're doing it and help us expand and grow and continue to enjoy doing this. I like doing it anyway, but it's always nice when we get this, when we hit that fourth digit on like a new series, like me and Blake were doing with Deal or No Deal Island until everybody just decided they no longer care. It's always so nice. It's so nice. You're killing it with Deal or No Deal Island. And then the last two episodes, people were like, yawn, don't care. But we'll be back again next Tuesday. If you want to be a patron, patreon.com/specialist. We will be covering Blood versus Water 1, episodes 10, 11, and 12. That'll be coming out on
Brains Friday. Versus Brawn.
God, that's the one. I can't speak. Brains versus Brawn 1. That'll be coming out on Friday, episodes 10, 11, and 12. Yes, it's not Blood versus Water. It's Brain versus
Brawn.
So, yeah. So everybody check that out. Get ready for that. That'll be super exciting. Can't wait. We're enjoying that season as well. I'm enjoying watching King George just run around and do whatever the hell it is that King George does. Otherwise, go check out all of our other content. As I said, Blake and I will be doing Deal or No Deal Island tomorrow. All of the Survivor coverage we have going on, Digging Deeper, will be back again this week, because we're going back to our normal scheduled Wednesday night Survivor recaps, which we weren't able to do. And then I have JD Robinson on Sunday doing predictions and power rankings with me, which will be longer than the 3 minutes that it took me to name them and kind of come up with names. So that's everything.
It isn't, Phil.
Amazing Race on Friday. That's the other one.
Thursday.
Oh, you're doing it Thursday night.
We were before. And then you were like, well, we didn't watch it because we were at a premiere.
I know. We both had to. That is true. I was, look, doing this whole thing from LA last week was a nightmare of Survivor, Traitors, Amazing Race premiering, Australian Survivor, all the Patreon stuff. My head was spinning. So I'm happy I made it through that week.
Fridays is the Survivor Rewind last week we had on Tagwith, and it was such a fun talk. So if you want to watch that over there, please go do it. Other than that, we'll see you for Australian Survivor next Tuesday.
And I am so done with the Traitors. Thank you, Traitors, for ending. Congratulations to everybody who listened to our coverage as we were done with it at the end. We made it. We made it through. All right. Bye, everybody.